Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Sunday, Monday, Corey days. Tuesday, Wednesday, Corey days. Corey Day, what a day for YouTube. This content is out. Scoop along with me those Corey Days. Hey everyone, welcome to Steel Wars. I am Steel Saunders and I do love Star Wars. And finally, we are joined by one Cornelius Van Dyke. How you doing, buddy?
Good. Good time. How are you?
This is the lively banter that people tune in for, obviously.
That's right.
But I don't think we've actually... Have we spoken, like, with audio, like, even on the phone since The Mandalorian began?
3 weeks ago, in fact. We did an episode all about The Mandalorian, which I was wondering if you remembered or not, because you did market this episode purely as a Mandalorian season 3 episode, even though we already talked about it 3 weeks ago.
Have we?
We have.
Oh my stuff. You know, why didn't you tell me?
I just wanted to say it on the podcast.
Oh, you.
I just love the it's been a while and we're finally talking the Mando season 3. I'm like, okay, I think we have.
That's not nice. I got notes. I rewatched all these Star Wars Explained reviews to remind me of all the things that happened.
See, that's I brought my own notes for today in preparation for different bits of news. That's
Dude,
true.
You
yeah.
Could just text you could text me.
Well, there was also a part of me that was wondering if he just wanted to do another Mandalorian thing, just to kind of have like therapy for it. I thought maybe that's what it is. So I didn't want to presume that it was an error, but also I thought there's a 50-50 chance of it.
All right, well, we'll save it for the end because you're on a tight schedule. But just let me go through my notes.
Yeah, let's go.
I just need to get it. No, not now, but at the end. But I think I do still need to get it out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All right. What do you got, I'm Corey? You said you had something good. Go on.
I do.
That better
do,
not been it. That reveal better not have been it.
I think it's going to be good. So a couple weeks ago, somebody tweeted at us that there was an Obi-Wan trading card set coming out. And so,
oh, wow.
And so this comes out June 1st. And I've been like checking daily to all the different, you know, trading card websites if there's a checklist that's going to come out, because they usually release something prior. So to this morning, there is a
checklist. We should just point out, because I feel like sometimes we don't, like, people might just be like new. But we were backgrounders in Kenobi. Just
yeah.
Because otherwise, do you know what I mean? If you just didn't know that thing, then you're just like, what? Who?
That's true.
These guys love their obscure trading card sets.
That's right. I've talked about it so much at this point that I almost don't even want to bring it up. But here's what we got.
I know.
So there's 100 cards per set. And the only thing that I've got is like the names of the cards, but you can kind of you can decipher the scenes based on the names, right? So
do the scenes go in order?
They're in order. They are.
Okay.
So I went
to the card like 97 is Hello There or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So there's a couple cards that I'm theorizing as a potential we could see steal on an official Topps trading card. So the first one is just called Owen Lars, and that's number 11 in the set. The next one is Reva confronts Owen Lars, which I feel like is closer to what it could be. But then the next one is the fifth brother, which is even more so an option. And then there's Stand Down.
Yeah, no, I'm not in the background of any of him, I don't think. But it'll be
interesting. There's a shot.
It'll be interesting is it just frames from the show or is it the photographer on set?
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know. Because I'm kind of going on based on what they did for their trading card set in the app. It was all photos from the show, but this seems to be different. And this doesn't seem to be the same titles. So I'm not entirely sure. But there are four possibilities already right there. I'm thinking there's a shot of the fifth brother walking in, and you can just see Steele. I think I sent you this frame, but you can see Steele just kind of casually watching.
Yeah, but it'd be a close-up on him. Like, they're not gonna,
I don't know, you like, think I feel like
it's Topps not gonna be like known. it's not gonna, they're not gonna Where's Wally him.
Maybe, I don't know, because they've got like, they have separate cards of close-up shots for all of them, and Topps is known to have these like very obscure shots that you just don't really see in anything else. So that's like the only thing
that, enthusiasm, Corey.
I don't know,
but there was a photographer on set taking like hundreds of photos, like every take. And what about for you? Do you have any
yeah, I guess mine's more I'm not sure on, because there's, if I go to the episode I was in, let's see, there's like the Imperial Siege, awaiting the Empire's arrival. That's one I think potentially. I don't know. There's so many, like, it would have to be such a specific shot, because on the Topps like app trading card one, I am in a shot for that. But I was hoping they would reuse that one, but I don't see the name for that one on this checklist, so we'll see. But yeah, there's 100 cards. So I think what we're gonna do is,
what
I'm
about
gonna,
towards
I'm
the
cry.
End? Is there one of Owen and Luke in Tatooine, like in Anchorhead?
I don't think so. There's, I don't see one. Because I don't see one. But I think what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna buy one of those boxes that has like a bunch of packs in them. And then we'll do an episode of me unboxing them and seeing if I can pull a card with one of us on it, because that's where we're at this point. I'm still living off of that. Like, everyone's moved on from Kenobi. I'm like, nah, I'll buy the trading card still and the little hot toys of them, and no one cares, but I'm still there.
Yeah. I don't think about it. And then once, like, every week or so, I'll go, oh yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I think I'm kind of there too. But every time I'll go on Twitter or something and somebody will post something about Kenobi, it just reminds me of it. I'm like, oh, that's cool. That was a good time. Because it's such a weird thing. Yeah. What happened?
I was like, how often's that you see someone posting about Kenobi?
I feel like I see it pretty often. Yeah, I see it a lot.
Must have a different feed to me.
I don't know. It's always in the, you know how your phones listen to everything you say. That might just be an unfortunate like thing of me just mentioning it all the time.
All right. Well, should we talk about something a little sadder?
Yeah.
Our poor boy.
I don't recall if I ever told the story on air, if I just told you off air, but I remember seeing that guy at Disneyland last year. He was very, very far ahead of me. There was a giant crowd, but he had some like Disney people walking him around. And I made like a sprint to try to get him to take a photo for you. I just wanted to send a picture of me and him. It's just, I don't ever like bothering celebrities if I see them on the street or whatever, but him, I was like, ah,
gosh.
Yeah, that would have been great. Yeah. So yeah, that's no shock there for the Galactic Star Cruiser, that's for sure.
I will say, people that actually, not everyone, but most of the people that went on it were upset by it closing. Like they did, it just must have been so good. But
oh, well, specifically, if you didn't pay, you would absolutely love it, for sure. Like, I think it would be a joy. But
yeah, people that paid that, I guess one person, they get money to go out of their videos.
Yeah. I mean,
other people were just like brutal. Like,
yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like they definitely, like there was a resentment of it existing.
Yeah. Well, I agree with what everyone else said. Like you're pricing a lot of people out with what they were charging. And like, I saw all the video footage of it and like, yeah, it looked, to me, it just kind of looked okay. I didn't think it was anything necessarily that spectacular. Like I'm content with just going to Galaxy's Edge and like being by the Falcon or, you know.
Well, I think it's if you want to play Star Wars, like, do you know what I mean? Like I love going around Galaxy's Edge and all that, but I'm not there playing Star Wars. I'm there enjoying Star Wars. And I think if you wanted to play Star Wars, the things that go on the ship are like the ultimate version of that. Like if you're playing an RPG or the card games or all that sort of stuff, like I think if you're into that, then this is just like that on like the biggest level possible.
Yeah.
But I'd rather just like hang out in the hotel, watch the lightsaber fight, and then just hang out. And then it's like way cheaper. And that's more to what I want to do. But people seem to love going on those adventures and missions and stuff. But yeah. Like, what do we got here? Devesh says, I've been getting ads saying, why spend $5,000 pretending to be in Star Wars when you can spend $30 to see the real place in Tunisia? I'm not from Tunisia, so my mind sort of melted.
I feel like there have been things talked about that area hasn't been very safe. So I feel like you're gambling a bit.
Apparently it's a lot safer now. I don't know who I spoke to about that recently, but apparently it's not as bad. Cause there was sort of like Taliban-y type.
Yeah. See, my biggest concern with the Galactic Star Cruiser, aside from the money, was always this. What if, leading up to this $7,000,000 hotel, right? You just get sick. What if on day one you get sick? You just all of a sudden you wake up, you're not feeling good. You're just sick.
You had
for 2 days on the Star Cruiser. Just imagine that.
And
you're paying a premium. I would just hate that. Those are the things I think of.
You are my George Costanza. Listen to you. What if you get sick and the sick and the germs and the space and the
these are the things I think about, man.
Well, why do anything good then?
That's that's what I'm saying. That's where I'm at now. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I'd want to go to Tunisia and the desert.
Well, I always did want to go because I always wanted to visit Luke's house.
Yeah.
But then I got to.
I love that we can use this for anything.
It's canon. It's the canon house.
Yeah.
Jackson says, I had that exact fear going to London, Corey. Maybe you guys can split a therapist. Get through this negativity.
That's what Aubrey's told me.
You got Costanzaism. Hey, what else you got, Corey?
I mean, I feel like it's another very sad topic, but something that we should probably talk about is obviously Ray Stevenson passed away, who is Gar Saxon in the Clone Wars and Rebels, and also was going to play the character Baylan in Baylan. I don't know how it's pronounced in Ahsoka. So yeah, I mean,
he's the bad guy with the lightsaber, yeah.
With the lightsaber, yeah. Very sad, because it was strange, because he was just at Celebration and he looked very excited to be there, and he talked a lot about his character. So that was definitely a bummer to hear. And I've heard nothing but good things about him as a person. So yeah, that was very sad to hear. Which it's weird, because like, I think it adds even more to the Ahsoka show of, it's, I don't know, it's like as his final performance, it's there's like a deeper meaning to it now than there even was before. So that's always strange. It's even like when Carrie passed before Last Jedi came out, and then you just, it's a strange thing when an actor passes away before their last like big role. So that was sad. That was very sad to hear.
Especially when he's like, you know, he seemed like he was just hitting his prime.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he was also 58, which is not, you know, yeah, not old at all. And he seemed to be, I mean, this seemed to be a very big role for him. Like, the entire trailer for Ahsoka, he's doing the voiceover for it, and like, is very prevalent in it. And it obviously is going to be a big prominent role in that show. So, and it's weird. I mean, that was one of the characters that I was most looking forward to seeing, because he has like a presence about him in that trailer that got me very excited. So yeah, I'm excited to see what his character does in the show. That's a very big mystery to everyone, but yeah, very sad. Nothing but love to that cast and crew and his family and friends that have to go through that. It's very sad. Yeah.
Yeah, that is it's just super sad.
Yeah. I do see Aubrey says, let's go to Tunisia with Steel. It'll make for a sick vlog. I don't know if she means sick as in I would be sick there.
I feel like that's what she means. I don't think that's what she means.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
I think you're just really showing that there is an issue with you, Corey. that's how you read that. And vlog does sound like vomit a little bit, so.
First off, Aubrey would never go to Tunisia. Let me just be 100% clear on that. There's no world where that would ever happen. I would, like, legitimately, if Aubrey was like, let's go with Steel, I would be floored. Yeah, I know. Aubrey and I just went on a. This happens to me all the time, and it's only when I'm on vacation. It makes me very upset. This is this is upsetting to me, because like we went on this little vacation this weekend, and in the 2 days I was there, I was fine the whole week, and then I got a little bit sick. I was very unhappy, and I was sick at Celebration. That sucked too. I got briefly sick last year at Comic-Con.
I feel like your body rejects joy.
That's what it's starting to feel like. Yeah. You know, I go to work, I feel fine. That's great. But, yeah, I don't know. We got Comic-Con coming up. We should talk about that a little bit. We haven't done a Comic-Con vlog in years. So that'll be, maybe my body will not reject that. It'll just be, oh, I was sick at Comic-Con with you. Do you remember that? In 2018, we had to go to the 7-Eleven to get medicine.
A burger.
It's in our vlog walking to 7-Eleven. I'm like, I need those meds, Steel.
Dude.
Right before the Clone Wars panel.
It's gonna be so weird going to Comic Con. I don't think I've been.
I think the last time you went is when Aubrey actually stalked you at Comic Con. That was
no
2019, really? Right? Yeah. Like that's.
Yeah, 2019. Yeah.
Yeah, because 2020 there wasn't one, obviously. I think last year was the first. Yeah, last year was the first time they started up again.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I meant to be going, so that's very exciting. Should we talk about? Do you know it's Return of the Jedi's 40th birthday today, Corey?
I do know that. Yeah. The greatest picture that you've found from that movie.
The greatest picture?
Yeah, I'm just wondering if you... The most disturbing photo from Return of the Jedi, which I...
What's that? What is that, Corey?
Chewbacca with the meat.
Oh, yeah, the bloody meat. Oh, wow. Right there. I've got... I wanted to show you something. So I went to... Yuma, Arizona, and right there, see if I can get these up my screen. Your computer, upload file. I went to Yuma, Arizona, Corey. That's what I'm trying to say. And I visited where they, it doesn't work like that, where they did Return of the Jedi. And like where they did I cannot do this at the same time. I am useless. Where they filmed the Sarlacc pit scene, Corey. I went there, okay? And we got a Jeep over. Do you want me to show you the Jeep footage? Wait there.
Yeah, I do.
Wait there. I'll fix this up. You talk for a second. Tell us about what you like about Return of the Jedi.
Well, actually, Aubrey comments Yub Nub versus Victory Celebration, and I don't know if this is blasphemous for Steel or not, but I'm Victory Celebration all the way. I understand the love for the Yub Nub, but it's something about Victory Celebration that just hits different. Which is funny enough, if you go on iTunes Music, you will not find Victory Celebration. You cannot buy it. You can only buy Yub Nub, and I find that very funny considering. That is no longer.
Yeah, well, that's what me and Harry listen to.
Yub Nub.
Yeah.
Well, like, has Harry
on the Return of the Jedi soundtrack?
Has Harry watched Return of the Jedi yet?
Yeah, we went to the Academy Museum to watch it on May the 4th.
Oh, nice! How did he like it?
Yeah, he loved it, and he sort of laughed. Like it was really weird because I remember laughing. You know when Wicket. Like decapitates himself.
Yeah.
You know, where they show all the Ewoks throwing rocks and Wicket, like technically he should be dead.
Yeah. It's like
But like my theory is Ewoks have got really thick necks. So it doesn't kill him. Like it does the stormtroopers.
Okay. Yeah.
But I remember looking up at my mum and laughing at that. And Harry did the exact same thing. So it was,
that is,
it was just like divine. So I think this will work. So this is the drive to Tatooine with grass on the side. Now this is where we started. Like we were in this. Where's the Jeep? Oh, this is us on the little. Like waiting to get on our Jeep. Check this out.
Oh, that's cool. So how do you know the precise location on where it was at? Like, how does that?
excellent question, because it's in Buttercup Valley, which is like a known like sand dune valley, which is super popular for these buggies. They all try to drive up it. And when they were filming Return of the Jedi, it was hard for them to film and not get the buggies in the background. Like they had to sort of like, get out of here, buggies. And there's like, when you go to the car park, which is like a mile away from where they filmed, there's like a whole buggy village, like all these RVs and stuff. It's quite bizarre, this buggy scene.
Did you just see a bunch like riding around next to you?
Yeah, they were going up the hill. I should have some video.
Oh, so that's my cool.
That's my little childhood Luke Skywalker in a little Sarlacc pit that we found. But I'd seen photos on the internet of people finding stuff near rocks.
And yeah, I was gonna as it happened,
there's only one corner of this giant football field size sand dune that has rocks. So we got out of the buggy there and came out trumps. Look at that. You're on Tatooine.
Yeah.
If you're listening to the podcast, it's sand dunes.
Every Star Wars planet right there.
There's me with my shovel right there. Do you hear the sound when I play the video?
No.
Ah.
When was that's this? Looking for stuff.
So you can't hear that sound?
Mm-mm.
Oh, okay. That's no good. Maybe I'll see how this goes. Can you hear it now?
Mm-mm.
There's this one video I just want to show you. This is me looking for parts.
Wow, a lot of sand.
Oh, there's me with Luke. Very happy boy. So many photos. Where is this bloody video? It's worth it, Corey. All right, I think you'll be able to hear it through my speaker.
Okay.
Can you hear that?
Mm-hmm.
I think because I found a bit of photo. I found a bit of a Sarlacc pit.
Wow.
This is it.
Is it?
That's great.
And ending shot of me still in the air.
In case anyone is wondering, that was about the same reaction, more or less, that Steele portrayed on the set of Obi-Wan Kenobi. Very similar vibe.
But yeah, it was so sick. Ooh, this little pic. How art is that? Lightsaber in the sand.
Nice. So did you find like multiple pieces or was it only one?
No, I found a bunch of foam. This is like a 2x4 from the set. I got a few of these. God. And like tons of screws.
Can't have those in Star Wars.
Yeah, and I found and this was just in the sand as well.
Oh yes, I'm sure. Could you imagine? That would be nuts.
Could you?
Wow. That is very cool.
Oh, Kyle Katan asked, did you find any more sabers buried in the sand? Yes, but not really. All right, Corey, should we go through my list?
Yeah, I think we should. I think we should. I've purposely.
Oh, wait, I've got to go back. I've got to change the sound over back to me.
I have a couple of some of my friends are very upset whenever I bring this up.
I just vamp for a second, Corey.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we're going to our wow, it's just me now. It's strange. Our Mandalorian season 3 discussion. We already talked about it a couple weeks ago, but it is what it is. Take a look at the comments here. Let's see, Frog Eater says Ahsoka will be the successful Star Wars event for Disney Plus that the Mandalorian season 3 should have been but wasn't. Yeah, probably. I think Ahsoka is going to be a massive hit amongst all us fans for sure. How can it not be? I think even if there's a world where, like, even if there's a world, and I don't think there will be, even if there's a world where the show is just okay, I still feel like I'd be content just with seeing Ahsoka's story unravel somewhere else. It's kind of like, I've said this before, but I could watch Ewan McGregor's Obi-Wan just watch paint dry. I'd be like, that's cool. So same thing with Ahsoka. Unless it's a horrible story, and that would be very unfortunate. But I don't think that'll happen, especially with, I've been very impressed with Dave's writing. I don't think this time. I think maybe I was for the Bad Batch, but
the I am very much looking forward to seeing the Filoni only script.
Very excited.
Yeah. Hey, yeah. So I was watching those Star Wars Explained videos, like his reviews, because just him talking about it, you know, reminds you of all the different bits. You know, you'll talk about stuff and you might not agree with what he thinks about it, but it's like, oh, yeah, I remember that bit. Okay. But, hey, I didn't know this. Where the land on Navarro that they were given, it was next to, or it was in Bullock Canyon. Did you know that?
Mm-mm.
So Jeremy Bullock, Boba Fett. That's a cool little Easter
egg. Oh, that's a nice, yeah.
A lot better than some of the other Easter eggs, Corey.
Yeah.
All right. Cutting Room 4 has got an insightful comment. I think a lot of the issues people have with season 3 have been present since the first season. I've made peace with many of the storytelling problems and just enjoyed season 3 for what it is. I'm I've got to just treat this like it's just going to do patchy, random storytelling. I had this theory thinking about it this morning that if it was like me for a season, if it's eight episodes, have like 3 directors direct 2 episodes each in succession, and then have like another 2 directors do their 1 episode each, like episode 3 and 7. Do you know what I mean? It's just the jumping for, like, it seems like it's hard to get to their goals when they're trying to tell, like, when each director's trying to tell their episode story. Like, it's just so clouded. Like, the whole story, half the season should have been Gideon.
I feel like it's more the writing, though. I feel like it's more the fact that, like, and it's fine that it's Jon Favreau's story. I mean, it's his character and it's his, you know, what he wants to do with it. But he is primarily the only writer on the series, aside from Dave coming in occasionally to co-write something or to write an episode. I believe there was one other person that wrote the episode on Coruscant. But primarily it is Jon. So I think maybe, I don't know. It's tough because, like, obviously when you're on set, there's a lot of rewrites that happen and you have to, you can change things as you go. If John's not on set for that.
Huh? Not at the moment, there's not.
Not at the moment, though, yeah. No. But yeah, I think, I'm not sure what really the problem of the season was. I don't know. Like I know, I don't know if you have this listed or not, but this is has been my number one issue with the show from the beginning, and really kind of hit it on the head this season. But like, I absolutely hate what they've done with Moff Gideon's character. That's the one. That's like the one big thing that has. I think I talked about this last time, but that has irked me to bring such a phenomenal actor into a role that was just kind of ended the way it did. Was very I don't know. It felt rushed and like not written very well. So
that's one of many things. I'll page down to my Moff Gideon notes. I sort of hate the term wasted, but it was wasted because the time was there, but we're finding out about nanobots. Yeah. And the thing that frustrates me is his plan was foiled before we knew about it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, hey, are those clones that you just blew up, they were my force-wielding clones. And it's like, oh, well, no need to worry about them. Like, it's such a... you're getting some good text there, Corey. Is the new Star Wars...
I apologize. I do apologize. That was my my place where I make money. I apologize. Sorry, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Only fans, they text you.
That's right. That's right. That might be coming soon. That's right.
Okay.
No, don't ever. No one ever get that thought in your mind.
But this other thing I was thinking about Gideon today, Corey.
Yes.
Tell me this. So the Gideon clones that didn't have the Force.
Mm-hmm.
Saved Gideon, yeah, because there was the Mandalorian, there was a bit of Beskar armor on the shuttle Tidarium. Is that right? So, Gideon had those clones, in season two, because he wouldn't have had any other time to come up with them,
right?
That's odd.
It is very odd. I feel like he had a base on Mandalore.
He's like, I just invented the Dark Troopers and clones of my... Like, it's very productive. He got all that done.
Yeah, well... Okay, well, that's my question about the season two finale was... Yeah, I think maybe he overestimated it, thought the Dark Troopers could do the job. He didn't call them. But then, obviously, they broke him out. But I love the analogy that you use, not even an analogy, but just the fact of that everything that happened in season two was reversed in season three. And that is one of them, though, that like Gideon being.
It would have been interesting. It would have been like a cool little thing if in the finale episode of season two, like Gideon hit some button. And he sort of got free, hit sub button, and then they go like, hey, don't touch anything, and you never knew what it was, and that was like to alert those like clones to come for him.
Yeah,
that'd be a sort of interesting little tie through. But they definitely should have shown the escape.
Oh yeah,
and one of the dopest parts, that Shadow Council, which I love.
Yeah.
Like, you should have been shadow counseling every episode.
Oh, yeah. It would have, I think.
Because that's what I mean. It's like, because these directors, they're telling their story, that episode, everything's so stop and start. Because they haven't got, if they're doing this Coruscant episode, they just haven't got time to go anywhere. Like, it's just, but if they had, well, like, hey, let's, you've got, you know, like 80 minutes to do that story, then you can, like, we can have more concurrent stories where rather now it's like, well, this episode's on this, and then in this episode you find out about this, and you'll never forget any follow-up on that until next season, maybe.
Right.
But Shadow Council should have been shadowing like all up and down. And, you know, the whole thing about, you know, reverting from the season two finale is they put people in these circumstances and the payoff is so weak. Like, yeah. Moff Gideon is just escaped. Like, the end of chapter, or episode seven of the season, Paz Vizsla is, like, gunned down with a melted weapon and the Mandalorian is captured. Yes. And it's like, everyone's on the run. Oh, my God, how are they going to get out of this? Oh, Grogu just he just walks around a corner. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Like Paz Vizsla yeah. was just killed fighting off and he just walked around a corner. Like, it's yeah. like, compare that to the season one, episode seven ender, and that's Kuel getting killed. And it's like the stakes are through the roof. It's sort of like, you know, you killed Paz Vizsla, but Grogu could have, like, it sort of belittles the death.
No, for sure. I mean, I think that's one thing that I noticed about the season two is, or season, you know what I mean, season three, where when there are a lot of stakes removed, even like in season two, I felt that I was a little bit on the edge of my seat in that finale where like anything could have happened. I think season three played it very safe where like even Moff Gideon like dying at the end, my first reaction was, eh, maybe. They'll just bring him back next season as a clone or whatever. It'll be this ongoing gag. He'll be in the last two episodes. But no, I totally get what you mean. I think even, yeah, like you said, bringing back even IG-11 and I don't know. First off, but that's very just, strange. Very strange to do that to IG-11.
It's just useless. Like all it is like it's just saying, hey, remember just when you rewatch season one, that like magical moment where he sacrifices himself for everyone, that's like, it's chill, bro. Like, don't sweat it. Like, and that's the problem. Like the way this show sidesteps big issues and downplays them, it for me, it makes a rewatch. I don't know. Like, I'm just not into it.
Yeah.
But I think like one of the big problems with season three is the main character can't progress because they haven't got Pedro Pascal on set. So like his progression has just stopped where like without question, I don't think like, I don't know how you can fan like weave it, but if he's sitting on, like, if he's chilled out, living the good life, like in whatever the Bullock's Canyon, take your helmet off, bro. And the fact that they couldn't just get him to sit on a, like a metal stool, like in a blue room one day, and they could just like, because they can do that. It's not hard. Like,
yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
But like, do you know what I mean? Like the main character can't progress because his progression was taking off the helmet and, well, and that, like just through the real world constraints, he can't take it off because the actor's not there.
I also thought that was just, like you said, it was going to be a natural progression for his character to go from sort of somebody who was reluctant to do all of this, then has to do it to protect his family. And then all of a sudden, he can't take the helmet off anymore. And I think also for season four, I know Pedro Pascal just signed on to like three movies. So that already tells me that that's done. Like we will never, I don't think we're ever going to have like Din Djarin progressing past the watch. I think it's always going to be him having the helmet on. And like, the only thing is like maybe the movie, but even then it's like, I feel like Pedro Pascal would be more interested in being involved in a Star Wars movie, and maybe that's what could get the helmet off. But I don't know. Yeah, I was hoping we would, because also like it limits, I think, Pedro Pascal's acting range too, because he's a phenomenal actor, and especially if you see Last of Us, he's incredible in that show. And I do feel like it takes away from getting those crazy performances from him when you're just kind of in a very, I don't know, low voice, sort of monotone. Yeah.
Billy says it may have been a mistake to hire the most popular actor in the world, but he wasn't before The Mandalorian. Like, do you know what I mean? Yeah, like, people knew him, but he wasn't like, like now he's just so, he's got real meme ability, Corey.
Yeah.
Don't you think it's odd, right, that Pedro Pascal has probably spent 10 times more time or more days in his life promoting The Mandalorian than working on The Mandalorian?
Yeah.
Because he goes on these international tours. And I don't know, how long is it? Does it take a day to record all that stuff, you reckon? 2 days?
Probably, yeah. I would also wager that we've been on a Star Wars set longer than Pedro Pascal has, probably. Or any other seasons.
Oh, what a flex. We should heckle him. Hey, mate! I've been on a Star Wars set more than you.
Yeah, like I love Pedro. I wish we had more of him being able to.
Devesh says if he hadn't taken his helmet off in the last two seasons,
exactly. Yeah.
However, if he hadn't taken his helmet off in the last two seasons, those two seasons would not have been as good. Because in the last two seasons, whenever he took his helmet off, it was red hot. Like, it was like, what a moment.
Yeah. I don't know if we'll see. We'll see what season four brings. I don't know. It's so interesting because there's like two sides of the coin here. There's a lot of people who absolutely love the season, and then I think I haven't really seen any in the middle. I'll wear it.
But like, I did love like all the Mandalorian stuff and like the battle scenes, like when they retook Navarro.
I mean, there's great moments in the season, but
yeah, like it's sort of like all the like the action scenes and stuff. Like, you've got it down, I feel like. They got me more into the Mandalorians this season. And like Din and Bo's conversation in episode 7, I think, like that was so good. But then in the finale, in the conclusion, instead of having them have another moment, they just fall back into that Mandalorians have helmets and they're dope. Like, with all the ceremony and the cultish, like, you know, like Axe Wolves was dope. Hey, you know, oh, Corey just gone. I don't know if you can still hear me. But Cosca Reeves, she just broke her ankle on the weekend. So maybe the writer's strike might help her be able to be in season 4 if she has time to heal. Or maybe she's in it a lot, but she's got a helmet on the whole time because she's actually on the side of the set. David McKay says, we can still hear you. Why wouldn't you be able to hear me? Or can you hear Corey? Because I couldn't even
hear Corey. I can hear you. Sorry.
Oh, okay. I don't know why he said we can still hear you. Why is he playing with my mind? Is everything okay, Corey? Do you have to go somewhere for work?
No. We're good. We still got time.
What else? I'll go through my list. I'll see what else I've got here. Grogu's just in the way the whole season. Like, it just seemed like he was like bothersome to like ride around until they needed him at the end and it was dope. But like that droid. I was happy to see it go. And I remember that episode getting like starkly better. The moment that droid got cut up, it was like, oh yeah, Praetorian guards.
Yeah. Well, the Praetorian guards were, I even found that a little bit goofy, where they're like chasing Grogu around and he's just like, it's just,
I didn't mind it. I was into it.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. I mean, I thought it was cute. Like anything with Grogu, like that's the thing at the end of the day. Like
you have to keep in mind that if that was not happening, they'd probably cut back to R5-D4, which was just like traumatic.
Yeah.
So Grogu jumping around was pretty sick. Tell me this, Corey. R5-D4. I don't know, because you're from a different age, but you did live through Clone Wars R2, which was a pretty golden era for R2.
Yeah.
Did you think that R2-D2 was special because he was a hero? Or did you think every droid was like R2-D2 and would just like risk it all?
No, definitely not. I felt that's what was special about R2. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, right. So this, like, R5-D4 is R2-D2, except he acts a bit more scared before each mission. Like, it's like, do you know what I mean? It's like, yeah. In Star Wars, the original movie, there was all these droids lined up at the Jawa Sandcrawler, and they all just look like run-of-the-mill, broken-down old droids. But it turns out one, the blue one, is this special droid. I have not seen a devotion like this in a droid before. Luke Skywalker, right? You heard of him? Anyway. But as it turns out, the droid right next to him is exactly the same, is also like this like one in a million hero droid. It was just AI writing.
I felt like most of that was AI writing the season. Honest to God, all of Moff Gideon's dialogue, I would have absolutely believed.
Oh, Pelimoto. Come on. I love Pelimoto. Yeah. Worst dialogue this side of a Banfa's walrus Tusken. All right, but we've spoken about it before. Oh, also the other thing about R5-D4, this is a more nitpicky way just to hate on it, right? Mm-hmm. So apparently R2-D2's jetpacks, which I do not like, but have just come to accept. I like them more now because of Lego Star Wars, on because it like helps Harry get across to levels. So now I'm like, oh, if you didn't have those jetpacks, wouldn't be able to get past this stage. So anyway, but apparently the canon reason that he doesn't have them anymore is because they didn't have that good a life. Like they weren't made that well, or they broke down after 20 years or something, right? Mm-hmm. But then you've got R5-D4, this droid that like seemingly combusts every 10 minutes. Like he's always, like he's really broken down. He's always popping out. His jetpacks are like, they're in perfect order, apparently.
Yeah.
Like it's, but that's like a very nitpicky nerd thing. Just an extra layer on why I dislike it. But we can't talk about R5-D4, Corey, without pondering the eternal question. When did he serve in the rebellion? When? Right? And if you're going to answer that, tell me this. Why did the X-Wing pilot contact him? Or why did he, like, how did they both either know that either one were looking for a Mandalorian? It's just, when did he serve in the rebellion? Help me out.
And if it's after Star Wars,
also factor in how he got off Tatooine to join the rebellion. And then after the war said, oh, I'm going back home. Send us back to the Tatooine.
Yeah. That was when they mentioned that in the show.
Kyle Katarn is getting blocked from the chat. The Jawas took the rockets from R2 and put them in R5-D4. That's it. You need 5 minutes to simmer down, bro. Get back in your, go fight the Dianoga in that big pool again. Did you ever play Dark Forces or whatever? He was in it.
Yeah. That
character. Oh, yeah. Good stuff. Sorry, Corey. Continue.
Yeah. What else? I think one thing that I have really been hoping in a Star Wars show, we did actually get an Andor, which was very nice, is like meaningful conversations between characters, things that are like emotionally driven or something that'll come back in the end. I feel like Mando was more like people kind of just talking with each other but not really talking with each other. It was like this weird like video gamey back and forth. It just didn't feel very
They talk like wrestling conversations.
Yeah, actually, yeah, that's a
like exactly. It's where I say something, I've got a snappy line, and I've got a line for that. Like 100%. The exception, the big glowing exception, definitely I feel like the Coruscant episode, like that was like good dialogue. I felt like I loved the Coruscant episode. I would have liked if it went all the way through so we could spend the season getting into Pershing and then seeing the very stupid thing happen to him at the end. But the Din and Bo conversation, like that was like a conversation.
Even then, I would have liked more out of that.
Oh, way more.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like the whole Darksaber, I'm not that into it, so I didn't mind when it got destroyed.
Yeah.
But I just thought that way they I thought the way they passed it on to Bo-Katan was pretty limp.
Oh yeah, like horrible.
Like I just sort of feel like it should have been brought up a little bit in that episode that it occurred in.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
well,
Din goes to give it to her and she's like, no, not like this. And they say, well, like the saber will let you know or something. And then there's that moment where she needs the saber and it's like, oh yeah, cop this. I don't know, but I just felt like it was like it was super like tricky writing, like this loophole tricky writing. But the explanation of it, like the reveal of it, was like quite limp. Like,
yeah, I feel like what I found the most strange about that was that at the end of season two, Bo is very much of the mindset of, in order for me to get the Darksaber, you know, she has to win it in combat. And obviously in Rebels, she was given it without doing that. But clearly she wanted to reinstate that tradition. So it was interesting to me that did not happen. Like, that didn't happen still. I mean, what happened in that scene is that bug creature thing that captured Din didn't win the Darksaber in a trial by combat. He just like captured him and the Darksaber fell out. So it's not like, it's not the same thing. So I was very shocked that was like, oh, that's what they're going with. I thought when that scene was playing out that he was about to challenge her and that's what we were going to get. But then it was, I don't know. It's very strange. I see, I'm to the point now where every time something like that happens, I'm like, I don't care. Like, it's just, I kind of expect the writing to be all over the place now.
Yeah, it was the thing where you were sort of waiting for her to challenge. But, and this is another thing, was like, I think the way they write, they don't give you time to enjoy things.
No,
like enjoy
all.
Moff Gideon's plot. Or
right, exactly. It was rushed.
Or like totally once heroes are aligned, just let us enjoy, because there's limited episodes, just let us enjoy that they're aligned. Like the whole hinting someone's like with the armorer and how like they named that episode The Spies. Like it seems to me like, you know, like Hawes brought up this thing about how it's a biblical thing about going in, like the spies is, it's like not the sort of spies that you think. It's the people going back to their old land. They're the spies. But it's called that as sort of like a misdirection to make you think there's more than one spy. And at the end of episode 7, it's sort of like everyone's, it doesn't make any sense in the story, but it seems like the armorer is going to betray them. Like the way it's all getting set up. And it's like, if you're not going to do that, just let us enjoy that the armor is, like at the end of the episode, it's like, oh, it turns out the armor was good all along. That's good.
Yeah.
But it's like, give me that time to enjoy like the team all together rather than at the end go, oh, it turns out we shouldn't have been that suspicious. It's like you're planting that suspicion. Like you're telling us to like look at it that way. And I don't know. I sort of think it spoils the enjoyment of just like heroes together. Like, you know, like end game type gear.
Right. Yeah.
I'll
say this too. Like, I'm not just saying this because like, I know there's that everyone's always like, oh, well, we don't need cameos, this and that. I did think it was strange that when all the Mandalorians came together, we didn't get some of the characters from like Rebels, some of the Mandalorians that were clearly a part of all of that world. That felt a little bit strange too, to not
get all the,
I think just if you watch the story as a whole from Rebels to the heroes, a little bit strange.
But. Yeah. I, Corey, this is not the show to claim it didn't have enough references.
That is true.
Bro. That is true. Come on.
But this was the big one. This was like the Mandalorians. Like this was the one you'd want to use in a Mandalorian show specifically. But
yeah, I thought all the Mandalorians coming together was I thought that was pretty dope. I like the skinny Pete dude and his gang on that
yacht. Oh yeah, that was great. I did like that. Yeah.
What else is on my list? Pershing, I thought that episode, like, edited, it should have been, like, over a few episodes. But, like, I really enjoyed it. And the thing at the end with Katie O'Brien turning up the brain thing, just, like, all the doctors, just, like, and the fan defense of it is... It just shows how lax the New Republic is. And I'm like, does it? Or does it show how lax the writing is? Yeah. But the thing that annoys me about it the most is that like the positive view on it is it's like, it's because the New Republic is so lax. That implies that they're writing this subtext into it instead of just like, oh, this is a big leap in logic. It's like, oh, they're playing like 4D chess, like 27 and a half moves ahead. It's like, you're killing me.
That's the one thing I hope in the Ahsoka series we get to see is like, obviously they're doing a New Republic storyline there as well. I want to see good writing for the New Republic. I really do. I don't think we've seen it yet. So I hope Dave can give that to us.
All right. Well, Corey's got to go in a sec. So I'll just run through my other ones really quick. Katie O'Brien, another story that's just ended. Like,
yeah, very abruptly.
Like we never saw her, what the repercussions of like Pershing. Like she just, it's that. Mandalorians look after their kids like so badly. They just put them out into danger. If they get taken, they make sure they're well rested and they have a feed before they go save them. It's just, it's horrible. And then they make them wear the masks. Ahmed Best, it's sick, but it added nothing to the episode. It didn't it didn't give us another view of Grogu.
I loved it. Like, I loved that.
Yeah, but like if they follow up on it, then like great. But it's that thing of like we now have to like it could have been put in any episode and we have to wait for the follow up to the next season. It's just sort of like
That's fair. Yeah, that's fair.
Like have it feed into the episode. Like have the flashback. Right. It's not just like the armorer with Doinkin, so someone's got to trip out. All right, Zeb, really good. Tim Meadows, really good. Nanobots, terrible. Just like, we need a plot. a nanoplot. Don't bring him into Star Wars. Paz Vizsla was dope, but a bad dad. Filoni's hat was terrible. References terrible. It makes no sense that someone would go to Mandalore, get a bit of precious metal, and then trade it to a Jawa. It makes no sense that R5-D4 would be in contact with that X-Wing pilot. And it is my feeling as a whole that the Boba Fett series was approved, greenlit, purely to get Grogu back to Din Djarin for season 3. I think that was like they're in the thing and they're pitching it and they're like, we'll put him back. We can use this to put him back. Oh, great. Yeah. Great. Make it. Make it.
Yeah. 100%.
Yep. All right. I feel great. I feel like it's out of my system. I feel, thank you for doing this 2 times, Corey. I appreciate
Absolutely. It. Absolutely. We'll do it again in a few weeks.
Devesh shot. Every cameo was tailor-made for film Twitter to cheer for a day and never talk about it again. Yep. I hear Filoni's, Favreau loves tweets and memes and stuff like that.
Did you hear? This is a Comic-Con thing real quick for me to mention. You know the grand sideshow tours we do where we go through the booths and it's so much fun and sideshows over there. Yeah. It's great. Yeah, Sideshow pulled out of Comic-Con this year and I'm devastated. I'm legitimately devastated about it because that is one of my...
I'm majorly checked right now.
100%. I'm upset. I've annoyed Aubrey to no end talking about it. I love going through that booth and doing... So last year, because you weren't there, Dom and I did it. It was Aubrey, Dom and I that went through the booth. And we did a whole tour and it was so much fun. Now we can't do it. Now I don't know. What's the point? So
this is me and Corey walking into the Sideshow booth ready to podcast.
When the lights begin to dim.
100%. 100%.
Wow.
Very sad. Do you think you've got problems? Take a look.
Oh, that's my favorite. I need you to send me that clip, man. I need to start using that with people. It's beautiful.
It is very, very good. All right, Corey. Clearly, this episode's gone on for
long enough.
So give us the plugs for all the things that you don't do because you're too busy.
Yeah. You can hopefully Aubrey and I will do more content on Convoy Call. I know we're just... I'm busy. Aubrey's busy. I know Ahsoka's coming out soon, so there's going to be stuff to talk about. And then Comic-Con, we'll all do stuff together, I'm sure. I don't know if you found a place to stay yet. We should talk about that, though, after this. We'll talk about all the fun stuff. So Comic-Con will be fun. I'm sure we'll have content from that. Yeah, that'll be it.
Here's Filoni's hat. I thought you might want to see that. If you're on youtube.com or podcasting.com, me and Hawes just put up a new Star Wars Year by Podcast. Late 1985, Corey. Good times. And I've got to introduce you to someone. This is our new cat, Max.
Oh, hi. Oh, my goodness. She is adorable. Oh. When did you get her?
It's a he.
Oh, it's a he. It's yeah. I'll be Max. Yeah.
Yeah. A month ago.
Oh.
So he's a good dude. Wow. And he was pre-named because he's a rescue. And yeah. So his name was already Max and he's a couple years old. So we thought, you can't go change a bro's name. But his little middle name is Rebo. So there you go.
That's awesome.
Max Rebo Saunders.
Oh, I'm so glad. He's the mascot now.
Yeah,
he makes a new mascot.
Happy. Yeah, we still miss Jerry a lot, but he makes us happy. All right, let's check. There's a couple comments before we go. Sean Hoffman, got it. I assume his last name is Rebo. No, middle name, buddy. Middle name. Oh, my God, and he's knocking. Look at this. Can you see the screen's moving?
Yeah.
It's the cat. He's just gone behind my laptop.
Oh no.
Devesh is saying Devesh says Steel's in collabs with HBO Max now, which is called Max. And it's funny because Jackie is the email that the HBO Max subscription's on, which is now called Max. Mm-hmm. And she giggles now. She says every time she gets an email from Max, she's like, the cat's emailing me about TV.
That's fair.
you watching Succession?
I am, yeah. What are your Succession finale?
I got none, except that it's going to be gnarly and my spine will hurt.
Okay, go. I think, and this would be the most beautiful ending to the show. I want Greg to be the CEO. I want a twist. I want it to be Greg. I want it to be totally out of left field. Like, it makes sense. It would be so stupid. That's what I want. That's my dream finale.
You mean how you're going to end up running Lucasfilm?
Exactly. See, if he can do it, I can do it. Aubrey quite often compares my speech patterns to Greg the Egg, so I feel maybe we're similar.
Yep. Yeah. you're gonna far kinder. You are like, you are far less corruptible. Greg has been corrupted.
That's true.
We've been watching season one, and oh my god, he's become a very horrible person in comparison. Yeah. But we will talk soon, Corey. We're not going to do a third one of this, but may that force be with you. Sunday, Monday, Corey days. Tuesday, Wednesday, Corey days. Corey Day, what a day for YouTube. This content is out. Scoop along with me those Corey days.
So, Mandalorian,
honestly, podcast. Honestly, Corey, not telling me that we'd already done this Mando episode is one of the most Corey things. Of just like, oh, I just didn't think to tell you. Oh, I just thought I'd tell you on the podcast. And mate, it's peak Corey. Bewildering logic.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.